Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome into another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, we are ready for week six. How are you doing, man?
I'm fantastic. How are you? It's a little before the Thursday night game. I'm really geared up for this one. I mean, the two teams I'm really been high on going into the season, Carolina and Philly. I picked them both to win their division. I'm feeling kind of smart about those, and that makes up for some of my errors in other predictions, including some of my dynasty errors, which I think we're going to harp on tonight.
We are going to talk a little bit about that tonight. I'm excited about this game as well. I just went through all of my leagues, submitted my lineups. I did not realize, I don't think until then, how many shares of Christian McCaffrey and Zach Ertz I have. So I'm hoping for big games from both of those guys.
One of them is a good thing.
We'll see. Well, Matt, we've got another awesome guest tonight. We've got one of my best friends, I think I can say. We've got Jeff Tiefertiller. He's, of course, a staff writer over at Football Guys. Jeff's been with us before, and he's back again. Jeff, how are you doing?
I am awesome. I was one of your first. I feel like, you know, you all are on – you guys have almost done, what, 75 or 80 since I was there. You all are polished. Everything's swell.
Oh, I don't know about that, but yeah, this is episode
we played off
episode 86. So yeah, we've got a few under our belt, and it's fun for sure. Well, Matt, like you said, we are going to talk about some of our own dynasty teams tonight. Not to boast or not to kind of revel in anything, but more to talk about what has gone right. What moves did we make prior to the season, or maybe since the season has started, that has led to some success? And then on the other hand, on the other end of the spectrum, maybe some things that have not gone well for us. We'll look at some of our best teams and our worst teams. Before we do that, though, we've got some news today. There's always NFL news, and today it was a big one.
Always.
Late this afternoon, we heard that basically the Ezekiel Elliott suspension was back on. I'm going to avoid the legal details because I don't really know or understand them. But what matters to us is that he is now, as of right now, suspended for 6 games. Matt, talk to us about your take on this.
Yeah, and this is very new news. And by the time people, some of you might listen to this, it might have changed. And he's off this week. So there's a lot of time to sort this out. Because I think he could keep pushing it back. I mean, everyone thinks that he is going to appeal, and maybe it can be like a Brady situation where he just keeps, you know, pushing it forward. But I think it absolutely hurts the team. It hurts all your dynasty teams. I will say I don't think he's looked quite as good this year as last, though. I mean, not the same burst, speed, acceleration. Not that he looks bad, but he's had a lot on his mind. Maybe he hasn't been able to work out quite as much.
Well, he has looked bad at some points.
Yeah, right.
Both in stature and his play on the field. I think we've all seen the pictures of how his abdomen has changed over the couple of years. It looks a lot like mine. It's not a good thing. But yeah, Dallas is 2-3, and the whole team doesn't look as good as they did last year. Jeff, from a dynasty perspective, or even with our redraft teams, what are we doing to react to this? Are we grabbing one of these backups, or is this going to become a situation to avoid?
About a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I put out on Twitter that I thought it was still McFadden's and Morris who played the more of the receiving role, more of the change of pace, and now I'm back to it being 50-50. I think that it's going to be that way. But the one thing I want to do in my dynasty leagues is try to buy Ezekiel Elliott. This is the time when everybody's doom and gloom. Maybe you get him for a guy you couldn't before. And that's going to be more of my take. And the other thing it does is it's going to hurt the overall Cowboys offense. Dak is going to struggle if Elliott misses games because they're not going to respect the run as much. I don't think.
You have to, no doubt. I mean, one little note about their offense, though. I feel like the line hasn't been quite as good. Elliott hasn't been quite as good. Witten looks a little even older. Dez has had a brutal slate of matchups to start the season. But what I didn't see coming, and I wasn't high on the Cowboys going into this year, I think Dak really took a step forward. I mean, just as a football player, he's really playing well.
And I also like Bryce Butler, Matt, if we're going to go that deep. Yeah. I think Butler looks a lot better than Terrence Williams.
Yes, I picked him up in a bunch of leagues, Butler, on the cheap.
Yeah, everybody seems to share that opinion, except for maybe the Cowboys coaching staff. They just right. continue to trot out Terrence Williams, and it's not really working very well for them.
What do they know?
So, Jeff, you're buying Elliott. I've seen and heard a lot of people mention the fear being the next thing he does is potentially a year-long suspension or maybe even longer. Does that concern you at this point? Are you taking the discount? And what would be maybe an example of an offer you might make on just a typical dynasty team?
Well, I would only do it if I thought that my team was good, right? If you're rebuilding, you don't want Zeke anyway. But if he misses six games in the middle of the season and you get him back at the tail end, it's great. I would probably use a middle to aging running back like Murray or McCoy or somebody like that and try to team them up with a hot receiver, hot in name only, to try to push forward to get Zeke if some team really needs a win. One league that we'll probably talk about, I'm really void at running back. I'd love to pair Keenan Allen and Murray together to get Zeke. Maybe that's overpaying, but Allen doesn't start for me some weeks.
Yeah, that feels like that would be a good, strong offer.
Yeah, Murray doesn't carry much weight, though.
I agree. But if he's your starter, you're getting crushed right. at that position anyway.
But, I mean, I think Allen and Murray. Allen is the headliner there. If you're getting Allen plus a okay running back, then that feels like a good offer to me. Guys, before we talk about some of our own teams, as I mentioned earlier, let's talk about a few players who are rising and falling in the dynasty ranks. We want to try to hit one player from each position in each category, and we'll just go through these quickly. Really what I want to know about these players, they're on the rise or they're falling down due to some poor play of late. Can we expect that to continue? And would you be buying or selling these players? And we'll just do one of each. Let's start with the quarterback position. Jeff, Deshaun Watson, obviously amazing start for him. I think he's the quarterback 2 in fantasy right now after he didn't even start the opening week. Can we expect this to continue? I mean, we all know the situation here. Rookie quarterback, not a position or a status we normally would chase in fantasy, but he has done it all so far. Do you expect him to continue that high level play? And would he be a player you would be buying even at his increased price?
Yes and yes. Ryan, you and I have had, and when I say this, dozens of conversations on this topic, I think you'll nod in agreement that there's only one, maybe two quarterbacks right now worth a first round pick. And we have to decide, is Watson worth the first round pick? Because you're not going to be able to get him for anything less. And so you have to ask yourself, are you willing to give up a first round pick or equivalent for him? And I am not. I'm open buying him. Great. But I think defenses will adjust sooner or later. I like him. I really like him. I'll get sticker shock if truth be told.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I've seen a lot of comparisons, not necessarily their playing style, though there might be some of that as well. But between Watson and RG3, we saw him burst onto the scene as a rookie and his value shot up. I remember that first offseason. In fact, it was before the NFL offseason even began. I think as soon as the fantasy playoffs ended, I went out and bought a couple shares of RG3, thinking I would be set for years and years, and we know how that worked out. So, yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm not ready to pay a first-round pick for Watson. I don't think a second-round pick buys him in any league. So, you know, now you're stuck with a second-round pick and something else, and that's kind of where the rubber meets the road, and you have to decide what to pay for him. So, yeah, we believe in Watson. We're buying Watson. But just don't overpay. We know what that quarterback landscape is like. You know, why buy Watson for a first when you can just cycle through some of those veterans who are so cheap?
How about Love?
Yeah, I'm selling them.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Luck than Watson.
That's my point.
wouldn't you guys?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I don't think you can buy luck for Watson, but if you can, I would do that. Matt, we're going to let you handle the other one. The faller in this category is DeShone Kizer. Again, we know the story there. The first rookie to start started opening week and ever since, but now that's going to change as of week five. He has lost the job to Kevin Hogan. The preseason comments from Hugh Jackson were basically they were going to stick with him almost no matter what. And, you know, things change once the players step on the field. So, Matt, what are you doing with Kizer? Do you think he can earn this job back? Is he a guy to buy low in Dynasty?
Real low. I'm a fan. You know, I mean, and I respected what they planned on doing, and I've respected this entire Browns plan of building from the ground up with draft picks and putting Kizer in there, and I get that. But he's not playing well, don't get me wrong. Hogan gives them a better chance to win right now, and Hogan looks pretty good. But as we all know, I mean, patience was the key for this Browns plan to ever, you know, grow. And my hunch is the owner's going to Hugh and saying, hey, you know, you're 1-20 as our head coach. You know, that's not going over so well. That maybe this Hogan guy could help you win a game or two and bring this to respectability. But I don't think that helps the process. I think you have to be married to him. And the supporting cast has been so bad. They don't run the ball hardly at all. The receivers are terrible. But the thing that really worries me is, much more so than Watson, Trubisky, these other guys, they've asked so much of him. Deep drops, big-time throws downfield. And maybe it's just a sink-or-swim situation of, because that's what he's best at. But he's almost set up for immediate failure, and he's failing.
So what you heard so much of in the offseason, really almost as soon as they used that pick on Kizer, was they're still going to use a first rounder on a quarterback next year. And everybody wants to point to the multiple first rounders they have, the supposedly strong rookie quarterback class of 2018. And all of that leads us to think maybe they take yet another quarterback in the first round. And the thinking behind that is Kizer has to change their mind. He has to be almost perfect for them to go defense or go offensive line or go Saquon Barkley or whoever it might be. He's not doing that. And obviously not even close. Is he even going to get another chance?
So I think it'd be a crime if he doesn't. I mean, you know already he can't play?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's the question. I mean, yeah. I certainly don't think Kevin Hogan is the future of that roster, of that team. I think we all know that. You know, to what end is this? Are they even doing this? They're not contending. They know they're not contending. They know Hogan is not the answer.
That's why I think it's a crime. I think this is why it's bad organizational management here, that you have to be married to him this year. Let him play 16 games, unless it was a situation like Goff where he just couldn't do anything and was totally overwhelmed. I know he hasn't looked good at all, but you haven't given him enough of a chance.
Yeah. So would you give a third rounder?
No.
No? Okay. So basically you're picking him up if somebody drops him, but that's about it.
For sure. Yeah. Or take a fourth, which nobody cares about. Yeah. But yeah, unfortunately, the vibes in Cleveland are just too nasty.
Well, that hasn't changed for a while. All right, let's look at the running back position. Chris Thompson is the running back 10 entering week 6. Really had some huge games there in week 2 and 3, I believe. Is this a guy, Jeff, that we can count on going forward, or is he going to fall back to earth a little bit?
I think he'll fall back to earth. Can I make one little comment about Kizer? I think that they saw him spiraling downward, and they're trying to save the bottom. And he's already gotten dropped in a couple of the leagues you and I are in, and I picked him up for nothing. And so I do think he'll start another 3 or 4 games. What he does, who knows? Chris Thompson, I think Chris Thompson has benefited by Terrell Pryor not playing well, Crowder not playing well, Reed being hurt. And when those guys are back and up, it's going to be tough for Thompson to keep up the level of play he was at in terms of fantasy. So I'm not buying unless it's, you know, Thompson in a third for a second or something of that nature. I don't see how he's any better than some of those other guys that you could get, whether it's Duke Johnson or somebody like that.
He's a clear sell to me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I agree as well. Just those limited touches, we've talked about that before, I think, and it doesn't look like that's going to change. Matt, a player trending down, losing some value, is Jay Ajayi. There were very high hopes for him entering the season. In fact, he snuck into the top 20 of our DLF Dynasty ADP in preseason. And if anybody took him at that point in a real league, they're probably regretting that right now. Do we have hopes for Ajayi bouncing back?
I do. I have a lot of faith in Gase. And I actually just wrote an article about this. You know, Matt, write an article about what's wrong with the Miami offense. And the obvious thing to look at is Cutler. But he's like the easiest scapegoat ever. Is he playing well? Absolutely not. But they do have Matt Moore, who could come in and help. And I do think Cutler is probably taking more heat than he deserves. But the thing that was most troubling to me was Pouncey wasn't playing as well as he usually has. Tunsil wasn't adjusting to left tackle as well as we thought he would. The right tackle's been a pretty good player. He's been struggling. The guards are really bad. And their offensive line coach was doing a bunch of coke. You know, like, maybe it's good to get that dude out of the building and have a new offensive line coach three talented dudes and two bad guards.
Yeah, he's just been so bad, but really that entire offense – outside of the receiver seeing quite a bit of volume have been bad. To me, he almost feels like a player I'll just buy low on this offseason.
Yeah, but I can see the second half of the season being fruitful for him. Because for them to execute offense, it has to go through Ajayi. So I think he's going to get volume.
Okay.
He's the one guy that I was like down on preseason. I was looking back at my redraft rankings. He was – running back, the two guys I was down on, it was he and Crowell. He was running back 18 for me, 65 overall on PPR. I think there's something to the degenerative knees. Gase is the one that came out, Matt, and said, hey, he's having knee soreness. This is the same stuff he had at Boise. And yeah. So I just think that, is Gase really setting him up to fail, or is Gase telling us more than, is he really being transparent? And so I can't imagine investing in him with hope.
But, however, I mentioned this in my article. I don't think anyone has more than six carries on their team besides Ajayi. Mm-hmm. If his knees were really a problem, wouldn't you get Williams and Drake more involved?
I agree with you. And what was even more crazy, it was Gase that came out week before, that said Drake is our running back too. Mm-hmm. You know, and then not give him any carries, give him less than Damian Williams, right. Who there are guys walking around, namely Chris Johnson, who I think are better than Damian Williams. And not that I think Chris Johnson's anything. I just, you know, Damian Williams has proven to us what he is. If Ajayi goes down, I'm not going to pick up Damian Williams. He can't start him in fantasy, especially with the O-line like you described.
Right.
Ryan, you are a Drake fan. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know that I'm a Drake fan.
Oh, I meant the singer.
Oh, well, yeah. I like the singer more than the football player. Although I definitely would rather have Drake than Damian Williams. Let's move on to the wide receiver position. Devin Funchess is a guy who will be playing here in just a few minutes as we're recording, mm-hmm. and is coming off a couple of big weeks. Cam Newton is looking to him more and more, and he's finally producing, finally hanging on to the ball, and he's gaining dynasty value as a result. Jeff, let's go back to you for this one. Is this a guy you're trusting? It feels crazy to say that. People have been Funchess haters and Funchess bashers for almost since he entered the league, and he has given them plenty of reasons for that.
It seems like I want to quickly go through. Samuel's not involved in the offense. Benjamin's only on a peripheral basis. Olsen's hurt. Cam having a good week, tied with Funchess having a good week, 2 weeks in a row, tells me that if I'm investing in Cam, I might as well take a cheap shot on Funchess. And I do know that Matt bought him this week in a certain dynasty league.
I sold him.
Oh, sold him.
Trade him last night.
For 2 seconds, right? And
Smallwood.
Smallwood. All I was getting at is that right in between those 2 seconds is where I think the threshold is. If you can pay a second in Smallwood, great acquisition, running wide receiver 3, 4, 5. But if it's 2 seconds or something like that, I'd much rather have the picks.
Yeah, and for my team, it made sense too. I could use a potential fill-in running back. Funchess was like my 7th receiver. I'm loaded there, and I always will take the picks.
So I don't know what those trade talks were like, but did you ask for a first rounder?
No. How did those go? I've been involved in a lot of trade talks lately. That's why I'm trying to firm this up. He had another young player I tried to weasel out of him, and he's like, well, I kind of like Funchess, and then I offered that, and he took it, and I approached it to Twitter Nation, and all my followers thought I was a genius.
It doesn't always go that way.
No, it does not.
Well, I only say that because watch him go off, and then everybody will start bashing you because we have such a recency bias.
Right. By the time people listen to this, he'll have like 4 touchdowns tonight.
Matt, what about Jamison Crowder? We just talked about Chris Thompson playing so well. Maybe that's a little bit at the expense of Jamison Crowder. Many people projected a breakout from him after his strong play last year, and it just hasn't gone that way. They're really barely even using him. I know he's been banged up and dealing with an injury. He seems like a guy we should be buying low in Dynasty.
Agreed. Good player, clearly their best slot type guy, played outside the slot a fair amount as well whenever they were at their best. A lot of mouths to feed there, though, and I do think Pryor stock is rightfully on the rise again after really dipping low, but it's a well-constructed offense. Cousins playing well. Yeah, I mean, I'll take Crowder off your hands.
Jeff, any thoughts on Crowder?
No, I'm probably more down on Pryor than you guys just because he signed that short deal in Washington and who knows what next year's going to look like for him. But I've always been a Crowder fan, especially if cheap.
Well, Pryor potentially moving on again in free agency next offseason may be just another reason to buy low on Crowder.
Agreed.
Let's finish up with the tight end position. Evan Engram, the rookie tight end. We talked about this a little bit with Watson. You don't normally chase those rookies at tight end or at quarterback, but Evan Engram is producing. And after last week, he's almost all they have left in New York. Matt, Evan Engram, are you buying him? I think it's going to take a first rounder at least.
If I was really good, and I think that first rounder is going to be late, and I had Olsen or somebody along those lines, and I'm really hurting at the position, and I'm thinking about it as he can help me short-term and long-term. Yes, but I don't know if my buddy Ben is coming back next year, and is the next coach going to have a use for a 230-pound tight end or going to be Davis Webb or Teddy Bridgewater or who knows? I mean, the offense could be drastically different. But I'm a fan.
I've been so impressed with Engram. I think everybody has. I just hate buying high on these guys. I mean, we've seen a five-game sample. Same thing with Watson. I'm probably just not going to buy those guys right now. If I can get them, obviously, if I can get them for somehow below market value, sure. Those are guys I want. I just don't want them at their new price. Let's try to decide.
I don't like this next guy.
We'll get there. Let's stick with Engram for a second and try to figure out how high we can rank him in Dynasty tight ends. And so let's say 1 and 2 are Gronk and Kelsey. Is Zach Ertz the default number 3 at this point?
Yeah. I mean, Eifert's not in the equation. I don't think you consider Reed or Olsen.
Right. So we've seen Eifert, Reed, Olsen, all those guys fall back. We've seen Hunter Henry, who was a popular choice this offseason, kind of up and down this season so far. We have seen
– he's a buy low for me. I'm trying to acquire Henry right now as we speak in a deal.
I would agree. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, Henry as a buy target. The more I think about it, the more I'm on board.
My best team, I'm offering my first for him right now, basically.
Ooh.
You think that's
too high.
And a little something back.
Yeah.
That's too high.
Definitely going to be a late one.
Here's why I say that, Matt. Can I throw this at you? How much How much more does Ingram or Henry cost you than Kelce would? And so let's say you have Olsen in
double.
Let's say you have Olsen in Ryan's scenario. Wouldn't you rather give Olsen in that first for a Kelce than the first straight up for one of these other guys?
I don't know if you can get Kelce for that, though. I mean, I think Kelce costs you two firsts.
I would find out. I mean, to me, quarterback and tight end are kind of similar. I'm not paying. I think there's two guys at the position that I'm giving a first rounder for. You know, obviously Rodgers, Luck, and you could talk about, you could have a conversation about Luck at this point, and then Gronk and Kelce. Everybody else, one pretty big tier, both quarterbacks and tight ends. So, yeah, I'm on board with buying Evan Ingram. I'm on board with buying low on Hunter Henry, but I wouldn't give a first for any of them. So if Ertz is our tight end three, can we put Ingram as high as tight end four right now?
I like him slightly more than Henry. So, yeah, I guess.
I mean, we want him over. Do we want him over Jordan Reed? I think that's really the question.
Yeah. I'd much rather have Ingram than Reed.
Okay.
Be on crutches or in a wheelchair or something and not in the league.
All right, let's finish up with this exercise with another EE. It's Eric Ebron, and he is really having a rough year. He's been outsnapped the past two games by Darren Fells, basically a blocking tight end, and had a couple touchdowns last week. That's not a good sign. I mean, Ebron is getting to the territory of not even worth a roster spot, I think. Basically, name value only. Would you agree with that, Jeff?
I think so, and I'm the one that was the biggest proponent. I still remember a rookie draft, Hyper One, Ryan. I took him over Cooks. I took him over Beckham. I took him, and that's where it really solidified in my head not to give a first rounder, not to take a tight end or a quarterback in a rookie draft, just because I do not want to be that invested like I am now. But I don't think Ebron's worth. I would sell him for a third. So anybody listening to this that sees him on my team, offer me a third.
I actually acquired Ebron this week. As all this Ebron bashing, I gave Jeremy Hill for him. So definitely better. A blockbuster trade, obviously. all right, we do not want any shares of Eric Ebron. Maybe even if it only cost Jeremy Hill.
I would love to tell some people about our friends at Loot Crate. Loot Crate is the best thing that you know is coming every month. Each crate is better than the last. It's phenomenal. Be the envy of your friends and get your 100% exclusive crates at lootcrate.com/dynastyblueprint. Enter our code dynastyblueprint and you're going to save a couple bucks off an already super cheap subscription. October's Loot Crate theme is mythical. We'll tell you more about that in a moment. But if you're on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate has it. It's the best surprise you know is coming. Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than 20 bucks a month, and even cheaper when you use our code. If you're more into a fanatical fashionata, try Loot Wear. Those are monthly wearables and accessories with cult classics of your favorite franchises. If you want to get fancy, get a bigger box with even bigger loot with Loot Crate DX. Or if you want to geek out your pet, try Loot Pets. This offer expires October 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific. So, I told you mythical is the theme. You hear the stories, the whispers of creatures and beings beyond imagination. Join us as we peer into the shadows and look into the other realms for October's truly mythical collection. Get unreal items from Marvel, Ghostbusters, Stranger Things, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And one lucky subscriber also wins a mega trait of seriously epic proportions. Like I said, you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive this month's crate. And when that cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Go to lootcrate.com/dynastyblueprint. Enter our code dynastyblueprint and save a few bucks off an already cheap subscription right now.
Guys, the next thing we want to do is, we mentioned this early in the show, we want to look at some of our best teams, some of our worst teams through 5 weeks, looking at our own fantasy teams. What has gone right? What has gone wrong? And what are we going to do about it? So, Jeff, let's start with you, and let's start with your best team so far through 5 weeks. Tell us about
team.
It.
Well, I still am thinking about Loot Crate and Ryan dressing his dog up like Buffy the Vampire. But that's just
that's the best thing.
Yeah, I can just see that.
That's my
new dog. But I think my Hyper 3 team, Ryan, you and I have met in the finals a couple times. That's the one where I was talking about having Murray. I have Roethlisberger and Cam Newton. I have Kelce and Reed at tight end. And my wide receivers are like Keenan Allen, Dez and Martavis, Hopkins, Julio, Lost Allen Robinson. You know, I'm pretty loaded. But my running backs stink. I have Forte, DeMarco Murray, just a bunch of junk. And so that's from where I was speaking a little bit earlier. And the one thing that when I take a step back that I – you know, in the mid-season like we're in now, I always wish that I would remember the things I learned in the off-season and vice versa. I wish I was invested more in the high-powered offenses and less in the Ravens, 49ers, Browns, Jets, Bears. I don't need any of those players.
Matt, what about you? I think that's a really good point. When you're putting together your team, and maybe this has a better application to redraft or to MFL 10 leagues, but how much are you considering just the quality of the offense in general when you're making draft picks or when you're building a team?
I think that's a great point, and maybe I should consider it more. But the NFL changes so quickly too. I think my eyesight is more geared towards how good is this player? You know, that I think that eventually comes to the front, although you hate to be the Steven Jackson stuck in St. Louis his whole career type guy.
Right. So, Jeff, what's your record on that with that roster right now?
I lost my first game by half a point this last week.
So 4-1 entering
week
5, or week 6, I should say. So certainly and obviously a contender, really stacked at wide receiver, like you said. You mentioned some struggles at running back, DeMarco Murray, and kind of not much after that. So are you looking to make a move at running back, considering you're now certainly a contender?
Probably. I'll probably give it a week or two, maybe three. Let the teams – the one thing that I always find that I do poorly is I try to make that move too early. I want those teams that are going down to – make sure that they're all in, that they're going down. I have a couple first-round picks that I can use for bait, and so I want to make sure that they know that they're going down so they're not trying to sell me a running back at full price. I also have guys like Riddick in that league, but there's so many running back situations that are just now getting sorted out that I don't want any of those teams. I don't want any Seattle running backs, you know, and some of those – Minnesota, you know, other than Dalvin Cook. I'm going to let it sort out a little bit for a week or two. I think I'll be okay.
I think that's a good point as well. Don't be in too big of a hurry to make these trades, to make these moves. Even though you're starting DeMarco Murray every week, you're still strong enough at the other positions to put yourself in contention. And then let those cellar dwellers get a little nervous, a little antsy, maybe the price comes down. Matt, what about you? Tell us about your best dynasty team this year.
My best one is actually my best and worst are sort of polar opposites from one another. In my best one, I'm 3-2, but I've just narrowly scored the second amount of points in the league. You know, like only one guy has outscored me this year, and it's by barely anything. This team's good, and I have two first-round picks for next year as well. My quarterbacks are Big Ben and Wentz. My running back situation hasn't been wonderful. Mixon's my most valuable guy, but I had Peterson, Ingram, and now I think Ingram's stock goes up to the point where he's definitely my starter. I've been kind of getting by with Bilal Powell or hoping Mixon comes around, but I only start one running back there, so that's not too bad. My tight end has been Jordan Reed. And then I traded for Clay a week ago, and he got hurt. So,
who are you trading for next week?
I'm trying to get Hunter Henry for my first, and then he's going to go down. But here's my wide receiver core: AB, Amari, Allen Robinson, Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, Dante Moncrief, Martavis Bryant, Tyler Lockett, John Brown. Ooh, pretty good. Yeah.
That is pretty good. I was sure, Matt, you would say your hyperactive four team because
that was close. Yeah, that one's good.
You're in first place there, 5-0, undefeated. Did you even know that?
I knew that.
Okay.
But give me some credit, dude. I host a dynasty show. I know what I'm doing.
Well, you said 3-2 was your best. This 5-0 team is looking pretty good to me.
It is. I mean, I got that one. I got Zeke, Fournette, Gurley, Hyde, Ingram, but my wide receivers aren't the same as in that one I listed.
All right.
So I'm just hanging to wrap that up. I'm just hanging tight there, trying to pick up a tight end. I don't mind moving a pick if need be, because in that league, not only do I have two firsts this upcoming year, but I have extra seconds too in each of the upcoming years. So,
and the thing that you said that stood out to me there was that you're just 3-2. So your record you may not think this is my best team, but you're scoring well. Maybe you've had some bad luck with matchups, which happens to everybody, but you're looking at your roster, you're looking at how you're scoring, and you know that you're still in contention. So, you know, a 3-2 record or even a 2-3 record does not mean the season's over.
Right. And that's where I'm at with my worst team is my team's awful, but I've won a couple games somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know if this is my best team necessarily. I actually have three 5-0 teams in Hyper's 1, 2, and 3.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll pat myself on the back a little bit there. But I think the most interesting story for me is my Hyperactive 1 team. And this is a team that this league, and Jeff, you're in this one as well, but this league is, 10 or 12 years old now. It's been around a while. I had a ton of success at the very beginning of the league, making a couple of title games and making the playoffs every year. But I've missed the playoffs, I think, for 5 or 6 years straight. And it's always just been that, that situation where I barely missed the playoffs. I got the 5 or 6 pick, and I was just kind of treading water, not making the moves I needed to. And this offseason, I just decided I was kind of tired of that, obviously. And I think I made nearly 10 trades this offseason, which is a huge number for me. And I also ended up with a ton of rookie picks as well. So things have gone about as well as they could have gone. I drafted Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey in the first round. I got Kareem Hunt with the 13th overall pick. Obviously, that's been a big piece of it. I drafted some wide receivers in the second round who have not helped me yet, Curtis Samuel, Ardarius Stewart, Taywan Taylor. But then I had some other guys who the past couple of years, big names, but didn't help me, Todd Gurley, Keenan Allen, and this year, of course, they are. So really just – everything is going right for this team, but it's as a result, I think, of putting a lot of time and effort and making some trade offers in the off season.
Ryan, in that league, I had some success early. I mean, I think I won that like 3 straight years or something crazy like that. But in those leagues, I have found that the receivers are worth a mint, but it's the running backs that usually determine whether somebody wins.
Yeah, I'm finding that as well, which is interesting because most of my teams that I would normally say are my best teams sound more like the one Matt described, where you have like 8 of the top 20. Yeah, you have 8 of the top 20 wide receivers or something like that. And my receivers in this league are certainly respectable. I've got Allen and Doug Baldwin and T.Y. Hilton and then a couple other pieces. But that looks nothing like some of my other teams. This team has Fournette and Gurley and Hunt and McCaffrey and Murray and Aaron Jones, who is obviously coming on now. So just to have this team that's really a completely different build than some of my typical successful teams is kind of showing me, or at least reminding me, that there's more than one way to win at Dynasty, more than one way to find success.
Good points.
Jeff, let's talk about a team that's not going so well for you, and maybe this is a team that you expected to struggle with, or maybe it's a team that you thought was going to be a contender and it's not going that way. But talk to us about that team and maybe what you've learned so far.
You guys will laugh at me because I went anti-Ryan on this. It's high for five, Ryan. I had a bunch of high first rounders, and I sold them for futures. And so I thought this would be a down year for me. But then people offer me what I think are slam dunk deals, like Dalton for Rodgers for Dalton in a second. So I take it. I have Jordan Howard. And so I'm buying all these pieces, and I'm smack dab at like roughly 500 with three first rounders next year, four the year after, or you know, three in 2018 and four the year after. But the problem is mine isn't going to be that high because I win just enough by having just bad enough team, and I can't even tank well. You know, I mean, I'm kicking myself because people don't want to buy Aaron Rodgers. You know, people aren't going to give you anything valuable, so you might as well hold on to them. Same with Jordan Howard. Same with, you know, a lot of these guys.
Then you win a week.
Yeah, you win a week and you're unhappy.
Right.
So I can't even tank well.
And that's another situation that I think a lot of people are in where you want to lose. I know a buddy of mine was planning a productive struggle year or a tanking year. He drafted Kareem Hunt in the early second round, and now he's won a couple of games because of it.
When Jeff, you're like the Jets.
It is like the Jets.
You're the Jets.
When you're in that situation and you have a guy who is not part of your long-term plan, Jeff, I think you said you had Jordan Howard there. Mm-hmm. Would you consider selling him below market value just to get his points off your roster?
No, because people are offering me like a second rounder for him.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the 1.6 in him than the 1.4 without him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so I'm just saying that it's not going to matter. And I have, you know, I'm starting like Garcon. Like, that's what I was going on that tirade earlier. So I have too many of guys from bad offenses on that team. And so they're just good enough and just bad enough to put me in smack dab in the middle.
Matt, what about you? You got a bad roster with maybe a couple of lessons to learn?
I have a really bad one. And the problem with this league, too, is there's another roster that might even be worse. Mm. So, you know, I mean, him and I have scored by far the fewest points in the league. And I've already won two games, and I have no idea how. My team is terrible. I mean, the good thing is I have both my first the next 2 years, and I have 3 seconds in each of the next 2 years. So we are going to infuse some youth, hopefully Barkley. But, like, my quarterbacks are Rivers, Eli, and Tyrod. Like, nobody wants those freaking guys. Mm-hmm. The only – my running backs are C.J. Anderson, James White, Aaron Jones. Everybody else stinks. My top two receivers are Sammy and Allen Robinson. Dante Moncrief, Pryor, Funchess. I mean, maybe I could get something for Funchess right now. But Lockett, and I have Engram in that league. There's not much to get excited about. It's going to be a long struggle.
And on running backs, the one thing, Matt, I want to interject, and I'm glad Ryan put me on the spot with Howard. If it's not a first or second year running back and you're in a rebuild, you might as well get rid of that running back because all he's doing is putting points on your board. C.J. Anderson or Mark Ingram, they're by the time that team, your team's turned around, they're not going to be of any help to you.
Yeah, that was Evan Ingram I was talking Evan about, Ingram, but yeah. I had Lamar Miller up till last week, and I traded him for 2 seconds. So that's what I'm trying to do with Anderson, too.
What about Aaron Jones? Would you look to sell high on him?
Yeah, especially if he's another good week. I reached out to the Ty Montgomery owner, too, and I haven't heard back. I said that this morning. So, I mean, give me all the picks I can. One move I did make there, though, is I traded my first, which I think is like 1.4, for Sammy Watkins. And – you know, obviously you'd rather have Mixon or, you know, one of those guys, you know, one of the stud running backs. But I still like Sammy, but he's not coming through for you, obviously.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, yes. The one thing that I want to say that I differed from most is I saw Corey Davis and Fournette and then a big gap to the other four. So anytime I had the 1.3, 1.4, 1.5, 1.6, I sold the 1-3 for two first rounders the next 2 years. And that's one thing that's going to set me up for a little bit. Not that I'm anti-McCaffrey or Brandon or Dalvin Cook. It's just like your trade for Sammy. I think those picks going forward will have a lot more value than those players.
Yeah, and at the time, I remember those trades. I remember us talking about those and you making those trades. And I didn't love them at the time. But when you think about it, a rookie has to do a lot to be worth two first-rounders. Dalvin Cook is probably worth two first-rounders even after his injury. I don't think McCaffrey is. I don't think Mixon is. Mike Williams certainly is not. Yeah, I think that looks a lot better now than maybe I thought it would.
Yeah, but Sammy's not putting any points up. I mean, like, I can't get anything for Watkins right now.
Is he a guy you guys want to buy? Are you guys wanting to buy him, and if so, at what price?
Who's that, Watkins?
Yes.
I think you can get him.
If I was really good and short on a receiver, I'd give up my first.
I think you can get him for a first and a little bit.
Especially this week.
Yeah. My team with the worst record, we played double headers, and this team is 4-6. And honestly, if I was projecting, I would have thought this team would have 8 or 9 wins by now, again, with double headers. So I don't know if it's my worst team when you look at the roster, but it's my most frustrating team. It's a super flex contract league. Jeff,
so what you're saying is you don't have any bad teams.
He doesn't.
Right.
I look across all my leagues and I look at the top. He and I are strategically in other conferences, and I either see Buckethead or Beats by Gray. Because, see, like, he makes it, Matt. Brian, I hope you find this all fun. But he makes it so his conference is on top when they're stacked. And so if I have to see where mine is, I got to scroll past those McDowell teams at the top.
Oh, I'm in Hyperactive 2 and 4 with them. I know it well.
So this team.
So I have this team. This team's kind of not so bad, but I'm 4-1.
Yeah. I wish.
We're talking about the Jets, and he's talking about the Panthers.
No.
Right.
So
who's on this
team? I'm hoping you guys tell me there is some hope for a bounce back with this roster. It is a super flex contract league. Jeff, this is Kitchen Sink 2, which you're in as well on the other side. Stacked at quarterback, considering it is a super flex. I've got Cam Newton, Derek Carr, Jameis Winston, Phillip Rivers, and Eli Manning.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's that. Even with Rivers and Eli struggling, Carr hurt, it feels really good to look at the roster, but not getting it done. Pretty weak at running back, which is typical of my teams. Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, P. Ryan and Riddick, some of the disappointing guys, and that's probably what is hurting me. I've got Antonio Brown, Brandon Cooks, Sammy Watkins, Randall Cobb. Some production there, of course, but, I mean, Cooks and Sammy obviously have been up and down this year. Antonio Brown, I think, even had a stinker of a game at one point the week before last, maybe. And then at tight end, Eifert. I started the season with Eifert and Kelsey, which this is a tight end premium also. So I thought I had two borderline elite starters, and we know how that's gone. They're both on IR. So I had to make a move and trade for Travis Kelsey. Yeah, that roster, it looks nice. It feels good, but it's below 500. Can I bounce back? Do I need to make a move for a running back? Jeff, what would you do with that roster?
All right. Who won that league last year?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I won like my side on the regular season, and I didn't win the title. I won the title in 4. But what I was going to say in those leagues.
Did I win that title last year?
You might have.
Oh, okay.
What I was going to say is that league, more than any other, since it's contract, and that league's older, right, Ryan? So there's going to be a lot of players with contracts ending that their owner will not be able to keep. And if you wait 2 more weeks, you'll be able to get players on the cheap. I mean, last year I gave up Kenny Britt for LeGarrette Blount. You know, I mean, there's all those guys that you'll be able to get because their contract's expiring. I think as long as you make the playoffs, I think that team's good enough to go far.
But could you turn one of those quarterbacks into a starting running back?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. The quarterbacks are all on good contracts, so this is a four-year max contract. I've got Carr and Cam on fours, Rivers and Eli on three, and Jameis on a two. I mean, Eli...
But you could offer it up to whoever, take whoever you want. You won't miss any.
Right, even in this format, Eli does not have much value. I think people see that the end is near, so...
And Rivers won't have a ton.
No, same
thing. Rivers has more than you guys think. I will say this. I've gotten a lot of offers for Rivers and KS4, Ryan, and I sold them a week or two ago. I would be looking at Rivers plus a running back for a better running back.
Yeah, I've got Darren McFadden. Maybe I can sell high on him.
But could you get, like, Mixon for Carr?
Probably. Yeah.
You wouldn't miss Carr. It's great. I mean, he's a big time commodity.
Yeah. In this format, he is for sure. I guess the takeaway with a roster like this, a talented but struggling roster, is kind of like you said earlier, Jeff, make that move, but have some patience with it. Give it another week or two. I guess my fear is if I give it another week or two, I may be at the bottom of the standings and out of contention.
Who would Carr get you? Not Carr. Who would Eli get you? If we all say he's done, would Eli get you – what would you have to add to get Doug Martin?
Second?
Yeah, maybe something like that. One of these young guys. That's a potential deal. As somebody in that range, I don't think I could go any higher than that. And that just speaks to Eli's value, again, even in a super flex league.
Could you get C.J. Anderson, somebody like that?
No, probably not. I'm going to have to work on this roster, guys. I can't miss the playoffs with this team.
You have massive assets sitting in your pocket, though.
That's true. I've got some picks and some – this is a Devy league also. So
ask him who he has on his Devy bench, Matt. Go ahead and ask him. The only person that has more Devys in that league is the other person on the line from you, Matt. And I bet I have half a roster full of Devys, and I bet Ryan has more than 10.
No,
more or less than 10.
Some
studs.
I only have eight Devys in this one, and none of them are real exciting. I do have Josh Rosen, so hopefully I'll add him.
Yet another.
I'll add him to that quarterback group next year. But
all the more reason to sell Eli or Rivers, because you're just gonna. There's no reason to have any more of those guys.
Yeah, that is a good point. I need to make that move. All right. Well, Jeff, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Lots of good information, some good takeaways on how to handle your rosters, no matter what situation you're dealing with right now. Jeff, tell our listeners where they can find your work.
Over at footballguys.com. Football Guys is what's interesting is I really enjoy the fantasy football marketplace, where different sites like DLF do Dynasty or 444 does Redraft. Football Guys tries to do daily redraft, dynasty, and most of mine, I write one Devy article, a couple dynasties, and one redraft every week. And so Ryan and I talk Devys all the time.
That's right, yeah. Football Guys covers it all, and Jeff covers it all too. And Jeff, you're on Twitter at?
Jeff T. Fertiller.
At Jeff T. Fertiller. Give him a follow for sure. One of the best out there, and really my go-to for any trade talks I might have.
Thank you, Ryan. I
wonder how many Twitter followers you would have if your last name was Smith.
Oh, I don't know. But you know, I don't have to worry about somebody faking my copying my Twitter. I appreciate what you guys do for the Dynasty community and being on the show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
Anytime. We'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.